Melissa J. Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute, and you're listening to Brave New Bioethics. In the new novel, Hunters of Dune, biotechnologists of the future create clones in breeding contraptions known as axolotl tanks. About 100 pages into the novel, the reader is shocked to learn that axolotl tanks are really unconscious women whose bodies have been expropriated to serve the greater good as so many gestating vats. Happily, The Hunters of Dune is science fiction. In the real world, we have a higher sense of morality and ethics. We would never use catastrophically disabled human beings so crassly. We understand that treating people as mere things violates the intrinsic dignity of the individual and the equal moral worth of all human life. Well, most of us do. Unfortunately, many bioethicists would feel right at home in a world where unconscious people are converted into mere biological machines. Indeed, some of our most prominent bioethical and philosophical thinkers have published articles in the world's most respected medical and bioethical journals proposing that patients diagnosed as permanently unconscious, called the persistent vegetative state, be used both as vital organ donors and the subject of human medical experimentation. Those we would exploit, we must first dehumanize. A favorite proposal for stripping these vulnerable patients of their humanity is to redefine these unconscious patients as dead, even though the so-called respiring cadaver breathes without assistance. The proposed redefinition of these clearly living patients as mere dead bodies is intended to pave the way for using them as so many organ farms. A 1996 article in the British medical journal The Lancet put it this way, quote, "If the legal definition of death were to be changed to include comprehensive irreversible loss of higher brain function, it would be possible to take the life of a patient, or more accurately to stop the heart, since the patient would be defined as dead, by a lethal injection and then remove the organs needed for transplantation, subject to the usual criteria for consent." More recently, the idea that the bodies of unconscious patients should be exploitable has been extended to the realm of cutting-edge medical research, perhaps toward the end of using these profoundly disabled people in place of primates or other animals. Illustrating how respectable these radical views have become among the medical intelligentsia, articles and letters published over the last 2 years in the Journal of Medical Ethics have gone so far as urging that persistent vegetative patients be used to test the safety of xenotransplantation, that is, of transplanting animal, usually pig, organs into humans. The usual ethical approach in medical research is to complete animal testing and then cautiously move into human trials with patients who could conceivably benefit from the experimental drug or procedure. But some bioethicists worry that early pig organ recipients would have to be quarantined to protect against a porcine virus crossing the species boundary and setting off a pandemic. But quarantining pig organ recipients is seen as violating their personal autonomy. The proposed ethical remedy for this conundrum is to use the unconscious in place of patients who actually need new organs in early xenotransplantation experiments. Quote, "If it can be agreed upon that PVS bodies can be regarded as dead," one philosophy professor wrote in 2004, "then experimenting on them is legitimate under the same conditions as experimenting on cadavers," close quote. This professor even asserted that those thought to be permanently unconscious should not be called patients because doing so wrongly humanizes them and, quote, "impedes the discussion," close quote. Consider the kind of scenario this advocacy, which is not rare, contemplates. Alice, a young woman in her late 20s, nearly drowns. Aggressive CPR restarts her heart, but she remains unresponsive for 6 months. Doctors tell her husband Jack that she is in a persistent vegetative state, and although the diagnosis is difficult to make with certainty and is often proven wrong, they conclude that she will never awaken. Since the law now considers persistent vegetative state to be the same as dead, the state issues a death certificate. Jack assures doctors that Alice wanted her body used for science if she ever died or became profoundly incapacitated. Accordingly, her breathing cadaver is transferred from a nursing home to a major organ transplant center. Soon her kidneys are removed for transplantation into renal patients. Doctors then implant pig kidneys. Alice survives the surgery and continues to breathe on her own. She lives for years in isolation as researchers continually test for dangerous porcine viral infections. When the experiment concludes, Alice is lethally injected, which is not considered euthanasia because she is already legally dead, and her remains are cremated. It's an ugly picture, and at this point it is important to emphasize that transplant surgeons do not currently harvest the organs of persistent vegetative patients, nor do medical researchers use these most vulnerable people in unethical medical experiments. But if we want to keep it that way, we will have to make it unequivocally clear to the bioethicists and our lawmakers that even the most laudable ends do not justify unethical means. Patients diagnosed with persistent vegetative state are people too. It would be wrong to reduce them into the non-fictional equivalents of the futuristic axolotl tanks. I'm Wesley J. Smith, and that's my opinion. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Brave New Bioethics, featuring Discovery Institute Senior Fellow Wesley J. Smith. To subscribe to this podcast, please visit bravenewbioethics.podomatic.com. For more information about this podcast and about bioethics, visit the Discovery Institute at www.discovery.org/bioethics. Brave New Bioethics is copyright Discovery Institute 2006.